You know, I look back at what happened this past football season, and I was feeling pretty bad until I saw that the Houston Texans lost last week, and I started feeling good about football again. Praise God. You know, because I'm upset, you know, how the Jags played a couple weeks ago. I think they should have won a game. At the same time, I'm grateful that we're not as bad as the Tennessee Titans, okay? And so I ran across this Q&A I want to share with you. Someone sent to me the first question: how do you keep the Titans out of your yard? Answer: put up a goalpost. That's what you do. Put up a goalpost. What do you do in Nashville in case of a tornado? I've been in Nashville and a tornado hit. What do you do in case of a tornado if you're in Nashville? Well, you go to the Titans Stadium. They never have touchdowns there. Never. What's the difference between a Tennessee Titan and a dollar bill? You can still get four quarters out of a dollar bill. And last but not least, this is my personal favorite. What do the Tennessee Titans and a possum have in common? Both play dead at home and they get killed on the road, all right? So the truth is the Jags, even though they're not as bad as the Titans, they still frustrate me, disappoint me, infuriate me. But I will never forsake my devotion to my favorite team. I'm going to root for them again next year. And I feel the same way about my favorite church. I can tell you, I probably know the flaws and the warts of this church better than anybody else, beginning with my own. But I am still in love with the Bride of Christ and RCC, and I don't think that's ever going to change. I don't think it's ever going to change. And so in the classic example of Andy Griffith's show, there's this Women's Historical Society announces that they have found in Mayberry a descendant of a Revolutionary War hero. And everybody's excited, wondering who's going to be the one that's going to receive the plaque. And several, including Barney, even doctor their genealogy to figure out a way that they could actually be the honoree. Does anybody remember who the honoree was? It was Otis, the town drunk. That's who it was. And he was the one picked, and the people were appalled, and even went to Andy and said, "We need to find a replacement for Otis." But Andy stood firm, and Otis showed up with his only one suit on, and he got the plaque, and he said these words: "Just because you're descendant of a hero does not make you a hero." And so, he said, "I would like to give this honor to the town of Mayberry, for which I am just proud to belong." And that's how I feel about this church. That's how I feel about you. And with all of our warts and all of our flaws, I'm just proud to belong to this church. Now, if you remember, before COVID, we used to have a time of greeting, okay? So I want everyone to stand right now. Everybody, please stand. Everybody in the room, please stand. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to find somebody you don't know. You tell them your name. This is my name. My name is, and that you can call me Otis, okay? My name is, but you can call me Otis. Find somebody you don't know. All right, great job, great job. Have a seat, have a seat. Great job. You always wonder, how's it going to go across? And man, it goes really well. I'm so grateful for our church. It's wonderful to be at this church, but it's better to be in this church. And my job today is explain what I just said. We have a mission statement here at RCC is to win people. And so what we're doing is we're asking you to set your phones at 2:37 every single day to go off at p.m., 2:37 p.m., because there is 237,000 people that live within 20 minutes of this building. And we want to pray for all of them to come to know Jesus. Amen. That's our prayer. And on top of that, we want them to be a part of a church family. And we're asking that 3%, we're praying that, God, will you send 3% to be part of our church family? So pray for that every day. Have your alarm go off for a year at 2:37 p.m. and pray that our ones come to Christ and our community comes to Christ. We are also, number two, we are trained believers, which we're going to talk about today. And last week, number three, we talked about unleashing disciples. That is, we want you in service. So we're asking you to go to riverchristian.church/serve. That's our website, riverchristian.church, and then put /serve. Find a ministry to serve in. Some of you are in this room right now because you served in another time. So you're worshiping right now, serve 1 hour, worship 1 hour, serve 1 hour, be in a community Bible study 1 hour each week. That's the bare minimum here at RCC. Worship 1 hour, serve 1 hour, be in a life group 1 hour each and every week. So that's our challenge. You know, I'm taking this first month of the new year to explain why we're committed to this particular vision. And I want to begin with a principle that I believe, and that is membership should be intentional. Membership should be intentional. It should mean something to be a member of a local body of Jesus Christ. Maybe you heard the story of the mom who looked out of her window and she sees her young son reading the Bible to the family cat. He's reading the Bible to the family cat, and she looks out the window and she's like, oh, that is so cute, you know. But then a moment later, she hears a terrifying noise. She looks out the window, and her son is trying to take the cat and put the cat in a bucket of water. And she immediately goes outside, and she's like, honey, what are you trying to do? And her son says, I'm baptizing the cat. And the mom says, cats don't like to be put in water. And the son says, well, then he shouldn't have joined my church. See, it's only right for a church, any church, this church, to have a strategy that expects all of its members to support. Our mission here is to grow people in the image of Jesus Christ. And we celebrate. Last year, we almost had 300 baptisms last year. We celebrate that. We're so grateful for that. We praise God for that, right? Amazing. And we got baptisms happening every week here, but we don't want to stop there because Jesus doesn't stop there. He told a story one time about scattering seeds. Some seed fell in a shallow soil and it sprouted up, but then it died. And another seed went into these weeds and it sprouted up, but then the weeds choked it out and then it died. And we're not agrarian people for the most part. We're not farmers. But farmers totally understand that it's not enough for a seed to sprout. Right? Just like a new Christian becomes a Christian. It's not enough for them just to come to Christ. What you want, if you're a farmer, is you want that seed to grow, to sprout, and then to mature, and then to bear fruit. If it doesn't bear fruit, you starve. And so we want people to continue to grow in Jesus Christ, not just to sprout, but to grow and mature and bear fruit. That's our mission. And what I want to do today is I want to tell you why we think here at RCC, why we think community is critical. It's critical, it's vital, it's necessary for your growth as a follower of Jesus Christ. This is where, in our statement, train believers happens in our mission statement. It's going to happen in community. It can only happen in community. And I don't think our strategy is different from the strategy of the New Testament church. In Acts chapter 2, look what it says. They, the New Testament church, devote themselves to the apostles' teaching and to what? Say it with me, and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Four non-essentials there. The apostles' teaching, what we're doing right now, the preaching, and then to fellowship, and then to breaking of bread, communion, and then to prayer. But I don't think most churches think fellowship is a non-negotiable. Now, they think the other three are. Like if I stood up and said, hey, we're no longer going to preach the word of God anymore, I hope you would be upset about that. If I said, you know what, we're not going to have communion, we're not going to ever pray anymore, we're going to cancel the 24 hours of prayer, we're not doing prayer anymore here, I hope you would be upset. But so many people who think those things are non-negotiable will come week in, week out to a church with no relationship, no investment in anybody, get up, go home, because we've decided fellowship is an option. And the old church, they disagreed with that. And I'll tell you why. They understood from their time with Jesus that fellowship must be interpersonal. It's not an individual journey. It is a corporate journey. And so the biblical Christianity is more than just a private transaction between you and Jesus Christ. See, God, he saves us individually, but then intentionally places us into what? Community. Now, this is how Jesus discipled, and I'm basing my sermon on the assumption that Jesus knew what he was doing. And so when he chose disciples, like he had 72 one time, and when he would send them out, he would always send them out two by two. And this is how Jesus developed followers. Jesus never sent anyone out by themselves. You were always doing ministry with somebody. And so the early strategy followed this approach. The early church was a large army that consisted of numerous small platoons. And when you read the New Testament, it's so clear. The New Testament church was not a big fellowship that had small group ministry on the side. No, the New Testament church was a small group based fellowship. But sadly, for most of us, we have allowed centuries of encrusted tradition to shape the way we view the church, a view that doesn't line up with the church from the Bible. Here at RCC, we are trying to get back to our roots. Here at RCC, we go, let's study the Bible and let's find the principles from the first church that are transcultural and let's try to reproduce them. Now, let me explain why I think it's so important and why we're committed here at RCC to doing community groups. In fact, there's a piece of paper next to you, and I hope you'll take that and be praying as I'm preaching about a group that you're interested in. And what I want you to do is, as we're going through this message, you look at a group and you're like, I'm interested in that group, I'm interested in this group, maybe there's two or three or just one, circle it and put your name on the back clearly and with a way to contact you, and then hand it to an usher on your way out the door. And I want you to be thinking about what groups you may be part of. You also can go to riverchristian.church/livegroup. You can hit that QR code that was just on the screen, or you can also hit the QR code that's on the piece of paper as well and register that way. So let me illustrate why I think this is critical. Even for some of you that don't feel the need. Now, you're probably wondering, why in the world is there a bucket up on the stage? And the reason why is because I got some Legos here, okay? Now, Legos, what I think about Legos is that they represent, I think, you and me. Because if you notice, there's connectors on each Lego. We're made to connect. And some of us, let's just be honest, are, you know, we really like to connect with people. Some of us are, I don't know, extroverts. And so we like to have lots of people around us and just pile them on. You know, the more, the merrier. And we like people everywhere. And we just love being with people all the time. Like you extroverts, y'all can't get enough of people. You're always just going out and reaching people and connecting with all types of people. And you just can't get enough of that. Some of us are more introverted, right? No, it's not that introverted. How about this right here, okay? And some of us, we like to have, you know, just a few relationships, but even introverts are relational. Even introverts need relationships. The thing about introverts that I love is that they actually go deeper in their relationships tend to than extroverts do. But even them, they're designed for relationships. And some of us are not, you know, introverts, but we're more we're kind of somewhere in the middle, okay? We're like me. I'm a person that likes people, but doesn't like people that much, okay? So we're kind of somewhere in the middle, all right? Maybe we have a few more relationships than an introvert, but we don't have many more relationships. And the problem is that even Jesus, when you look at Jesus, he had a really tight circle of friends. I mean, he knew a lot of people, but his tight circle was 12, but he had three friends inside of that. And people show up, and they show up in our life, and they want friendship. The problem is that some of us are already full. And so for me to be really tight with this person means I need to get rid of this person, right? And that means I got to ditch this guy. I don't have a lot of bandwidth. You don't either, but we need to have bandwidth for relationships. And so there's only so much space in our life because I need to see my wife at some point in the day. So, you know, but this person has to connect somewhere. And so what we need to do as a church is we need to create different places for people to connect, different kind of groups for people to connect. And so when this person shows up to our church, and by the way, people are looking for more than just a friendly church. They're looking for friends. They're looking for people to connect with. And they show up, and these people are already full, the introverts and the people like me, somewhere in the middle, and the extroverts. They got to find somewhere. That's why we have these different groups so people can come and find that community so they can grow in Jesus Christ. Now, I'm pretty pumped right now because two things happened. One is I made a totally biblical point. And number two, I got to play with Legos. Two things came together, and my dreams are coming true today, okay? So, you see, there's a difference between being at church and being in church, isn't there? There's a difference between being in this building and actually being part of the family. And what we're doing right now is important. Worship is incredibly important, but we need community. We need more than this. And we need community for a couple reasons. Number one is we need it for caring reasons. Caring reasons. While I'm talking, there's going to be some photos going through the screen right now. I don't know if you remember back in 2004, a tsunami hit. And there was a baby hippo with its mom, and all of a sudden it got pulled out into the ocean by the current from that tsunami. And it got separated from its mother. And then it got pushed back to the land. But when it came on land, it couldn't find its mom. Hippos, by the way, are incredibly relational. They have to be with their mom for 4 years. And so he couldn't find his mother. His name is Owen, by the way. The name of the hippo is Owen. And he found a tortoise, a 100-year-old tortoise, who adopted him and became his surrogate mother for him during this difficult time. You can look it up on the internet. And I think just the point of the story is this. God has so designed his creation that when life gets hard and life gets hard, you need to be more than just a face in the crowd. A moment ago, I had you have a greeting time. And my question to you is, how many of you really shared something deep within that time? How many of you shared some like big burden in your life, a big prayer request with someone while we were greeting? Probably didn't happen. That's not really the context. That's not really the place right here for that kind of thing. Sam Rayford years ago was a speaker of the House of Washington in Washington, D.C. And when he was diagnosed with terminal cancer, he announced that he was leaving Washington, D.C. and going back to his hometown in Bohan, Texas. And they said, Sam, why would you do that? The best hospitals in the world are right here in Washington, D.C. And he said these words, well, in Bohan, Texas, they know if you're sick, and they care if you die. That's the power of a small group. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 that we are supposed to, look at this church, we're supposed to do what? Say it with me. Carry each other's burdens. And in this way, guess what you do? You fulfill the law of Christ when you carry one another's burdens. And that doesn't happen typically in this room, and it needs to happen though. And so in life groups, give us the context that one another stuff that the Bible talks about can actually happen. It's a place where we can model the priesthood of all believers. And through caring and being cared for, we actually grow as believers of Jesus Christ. We need community for caring reasons, but also for daring reasons. We need it for daring reasons. In a Peanuts column years ago, Charlie Brown is explaining this new dog food, and he's like, oh, it's so easy. You just tear the bag open and you pour out the dog food in a bowl and then you add a little water. It's really no trouble at all. And then the last panel of the comic is Snoopy. And Snoopy has this bubble above his head and Snoopy says, I wish I was worth some trouble. And you do too. You wish you were worth some trouble. You would like for somebody to think you're worth it. And what we're doing right now is so rare to be like Jesus. I mean, I don't know if you've noticed, but not many people out there are trying to be like Jesus. They're not trying to talk like Jesus talked or think like Jesus thought or live and treat people like Jesus lived and treated people. We are trying to swim upstream in a downstream world. And maybe that's why the word encourage is used 109 times in the New Testament alone. Like in Hebrews chapter 3, it says, say it with me, church. Encourage one another daily. Encourage one another daily, as long as it's called the day, like do it right now so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Now, this kind of encouraging typically doesn't happen in a large room and gathering like this. For most of us, it's not the place where someone is going to share a deep burden in their heart. So who's going to come and help me with the struggle I've got going on in my life? Who's going to come alongside me? We need that place. We need some place where God designs self-disclosure and where that can actually happen. The Bible talks about this in James chapter 5 when it says these words, make this your, say it with me, your what? Common. Make this your common practice. Not something you do once every 5 years. Make this a habit, and here it is. Confess your sins to each other in a safe place and pray for each other so that we can live together. How? Whole and healed. Please don't mistake companionship for fellowship. Don't mistake companionship for what the Bible calls fellowship. Those two things are totally different. Companionship will let you stay stuck right where you are, but fellowship will compel you to move in the direction of who God wants you to be. 1947, Larry Doby did something incredible. You know, so many of you know Jackie Robinson, the very first African-American to enter the National League. Well, Larry Doby, a couple weeks after him, entered into the American League and played baseball. And all of a sudden, he went to the plate for the very first time. And all of a sudden, all the racial slurs are raining down on him. And he's nervous. And he swung at the first three pitches and missed all of them by like a foot. He walked back in the dugout, totally ashamed, with his head down. He walked right past his teammates, went into the corner of the dugout, and just sat there with his head between his hands. The next batter up was Joe Gordon, an all-star great hitter. He had faced this pitcher many times, always hit well off of him and did well against him. But he walked up to the plate, and Joe swung at the first three pitches and missed them by 2 feet. He walked right past all his teammates, went right sat next down to Larry Doby, put his head between his hands as well. No one ever asked Joe if he struck out on purpose. But for the rest of his career, when Larry Doby got up to go out on the field, he picked up Joe Gordon's glove and would toss it back to him. And Larry Doby went on to become one of the greatest hitters in the American League. That's what community does. That's what it'll do to you. Community will take you where you are and help you get where you're supposed to be. And you cannot become a growing follower of Jesus Christ without it. Unless you know more about discipleship than Jesus does. I'm going to say it again. You cannot grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ without community unless you know something that Jesus doesn't know. Now, I know this kind of investment can be risky, and that's where you need to be daring. I know it can be hard. I know some of you, you've been hurt. Some of you are like, I'm introverted. I don't really know if I can do this. Some of us right now, we're just kind of hesitant. You're like, that kind of commitment is not very natural for me. Listen, it's actually not natural for me either. This kind of relational investment takes a supernatural empowering. None of us are adequate unless the Holy Spirit shows up to help us to do this for one another. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, it says, God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the, say it with me, through the what? The Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. And so what we need to do is to step out in faith. I need some of you to be daring. And step out in faith and put yourselves out there in places for this kind of love to show up. Listen, it's our greatest witness to a world because the world can copy the church on a lot of different things. But the world, listen, should never be able to imitate how we love each other. You see, I think fellowship will be inspirational for those people who are coming into the church and trying to find a place to connect. But I also think that fellowship will be inspirational to the world that's watching how to do love one another well. A story that illustrates this point happened years ago in Texas. It's a school of young men who are incarcerated. They've all done serious crimes. And they had a football team. They're called the Tornadoes. They're not very good. To be on the team, you had to finish half a semester, pass all your classes, and have no behavioral problems. So these kids on this football team are constantly coming and they're going. It's hard to have any continuity. And so they're not very good. They have won no games in the football season. And at the end of the football season, they're going to play a school called Grapevine Faith School, a Christian school. And the coach had an idea from Grapevine. He says, what if for just one night, half of our fans cheered for the opposing team, for these boys. And he sent out an email to all the parents and all the faculty and anyone connected to the football team. He said, here's the message I want to send this visiting team. You are just as important as any other person on planet Earth. And so those boys showed up. They saw a strange sight. They saw parents lined up for them to run through a line with a sign at the end of it. They had never done that before. And they get to their side of the football field at their bench, and they see another strange sight. There are over 200 fans on their side of the field holding up signs rooting for them. And wouldn't you be shocked to know if I told you that they played the best game they played all year long that game? They scored 2 touchdowns. Now, they didn't win, but they only scored 2 touchdowns the whole season. And so after the game, they got to do something else they've never done before. They grabbed Gatorade bottles and they splashed their coach because they felt like winners. One of the boys says this, you can tell people are a little afraid of us when we come to the games. You can see it in their eyes. They're looking at us like we're criminals. But these people, they were yelling for us by our names. And maybe the coolest thing happened after the game. Both teams huddled up right there at the 50-yard line, and they were going to pray together. And the quarterback for the Tornadoes, he asked if he could pray. And the Grapevine High School coach said, absolutely. And here's the prayer he prayed. Lord, I don't know how this happened, so I don't know how to say thank you. But I never would have known there were so many people in the world that cared about us. The church is known as the bride of Christ in the Bible. And I'm going to say this to you, with all of our warts and all of our flaws, here's the truth. There is nothing on earth more beautiful than the bride of Christ when she is at her best. Amen? There is nothing more beautiful than the bride of Christ. And that nobody should do belonging and community better than us. The question I have is, how do I deepen my community? If I'm in a community, how do I deepen it? And you can go all kinds of routes, like, okay, we need to look at what we're studying, look at the curriculum and change it up. You can do all that. But here's a principle that came out of a book by Dietrich Bonhoeffer called Life Together. And he said, you want to grow depthness in your community? Here it is. Active helpfulness. Active helpfulness. If you want to depth in your community, it's this idea of being helpful that he defines active helpfulness this way. He says, it's a simple assistance in trifling external matters. I have to say, I kind of find it frustrating. I want it to be some kind of big moment of epiphany. I want it to be some kind of, you know, mountaintop experience. He says, no. If you want deep community, just be there. Just show up. Even when it seems so insignificant. Someone needs a ride to the airport, you take them. Someone needs a last minute favor, you help them out. Someone needs help with a babysitter, you show up. Let me tell you about friendship. Friendship is only revealed when it's inconvenient, right? Friendship is revealed when it's inconvenient. The way we bring depth is by showing up and helping out. It's as simple as that. A lady named Jen stood up before a church and she gave her testimony about a really tough time in her life when she had a life-threatening sickness. And at the time, she had 4 kids under the age of 7. And a week before her family was about to move, she could not get out of bed without help. And she stayed that way for a month. And within 12 hours of that diagnosis, she said that her church family rallied around her. And they created a website so families could help out and sign up to do meals. And 40 people signed up, and they visited her in the hospital. They took care of her kids. They took care of her house. They sent, obviously, food. And she never had to ask for help. It just happened. And what's so amazing about the story is after she shared that story, just like we're doing right now, we're asking you to write down your name and what group you want to be a part of and hand it to somebody on your way out the door. That's what they did that day. And what was so amazing is that dozens upon dozens of people signed up to be in a group, but not just any group. They wanted to be in Jen's group. They actually wrote, I want to be in Jen's group on the Connect card. They didn't care about the demographics. They didn't care about even the location or the study plan. They could see community a mile away. It was a community where people were willing to show up and help. Here's the thing. We live in a culture where we worship our time. Like, I don't know if there's anything bigger for us than our time. We feel so costly to give up moments of time, but the greater cost comes when we are not willing to give up that short-term time to be there, to help out. So we lose out on experiencing long-term community that our souls long for. Listen to what the writer of Ecclesiastes said when he wrote, 2, they're better than 1 because they have a good return for their labor. It's actually more efficient to go together. I always say, you want to go fast? Go by yourself. You want to go far? You go with others. Why do we go with others? Because here's what happens. If either of them falls down, because it's going to happen, one can help the other up, right? And then he writes, but pity anyone who falls and has, say it with me, church, and has what? No one to help them up. You ever seen that? You ever seen someone fall? Their marriage goes down the tubes. There's no one there to help them up. Then you see them financially just get wrecked and there's no one there to help them up. You see them have a health issue and there's no one there to help them up. A more important question is this: who will be there to help you when trouble comes your way? Because it will. You're either right now walking into trouble, or you're in trouble, or you're walking out of it, right? And the reality is we get in trouble in our life. But here's the thing: when trouble comes, you need people who are already there. You need people you already know. You need people who are already in your life. They're already in relationship with you. There's already trust. You don't arrive at that kind of community without giving your time, without helping out, without showing up, even, listen, in times when it feels so insignificant. Like it doesn't really matter. It feels like you're not really building community. But guess what? You are. You really are. So helping one another is how we grow deeper roots in community. Helping one another, just showing up when it feels so insignificant, is how we grow roots of deeper community. Will you stand with me right now? Please stand. And I want to encourage you to get in community in 2026. That's how we grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. We can bear fruit for his glory. Let me pray over you right now. Father God, we come before you. And Lord, I know that Satan is working overdrive for people in this room not to do this daring thing and not to get in community. And my prayer right now, God, in the name of Jesus, will you hold back Satan so that people will trust in you and trust in the body of Christ and the family that you built for us called the church and get what they need. Lord, we're not designed to go solo. We are designed to go together. And Lord, I pray that every single person here can find a community group that will grow them in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray they'll take that step today if they're not in one already. Lord, thank you so much for all the community that is happening here. And Lord, I pray in 2026, it does nothing but grow and get multiplied for your glory. Thank you so much for the bride of Christ. Thank you so much for the church. Lord, she is beautiful. We pray this all in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. The whole church said, amen. Can we give God the praise for community? Can we give God the praise that we're never alone? So I want to encourage you right now, if you need prayer, you don't need to go alone. Go right now to the crosses on your far left or your far right. Maybe you just need encouragement. You need to talk to someone. You want to give your life to Jesus Christ. Why don't you come right now as we worship him together. Please come to the cross.